둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover some new ones. And you can grab us anywhere you get your podcasts from. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some fantastic guests on lately, including Depeche Mode, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, Les Claypool of Primus, and Maynard James Keenan of Tool. We're both here together for the 1,000th episode. Big Sean dropped by, Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, Thomas Lennon, Julia Stiles, and Heather Graham to talk about Chosen Family, Colin Greenwood of Radiohead, The Offspring, Brian Ferry of Roxy Music, and the cast of It's What's Inside, playing now on Netflix. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with actor Tony Hale. You know him from Arrested Development and Veep and Inside Out 2 and Toy Story 4. Today we're going to be talking about the movie Woman of the Hour. It's directed by and starring Anna Kendrick in her directorial debut and tells the true story of a 1970s dating game show where a contestant's life intersects with serial killer Rodney Alcala. Now, Tony portrays a fictionalized version of the game show host, and it really reflects the cultural detachment and sexism of the area in everything that he does on the screen in this movie. We'll talk about Anna's direction, especially for not glorifying the killer, focusing instead on the victim's perspectives. We're also going to talk about working in the 70s setting. He's got this incredible, as he says, helmet hair wig on and the polyester wardrobe. So we'll get into that as well. But we're also going to talk about those beloved roles in Veep and Arrested Development. Slipping back into Gary Walsh for the recent Veep reunion that happened. And his eagerness to do more with that cast. Going to talk about that, as well as revisiting Buster Bluth for Arrested Development, especially coming back to that character as well after taking some time away. And we'll hear about his upcoming movie Sketch, which he describes as Inside Out meets Jurassic Park. All of that and more as we dive into Woman of the Hour, playing now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Tony Hale.
Hi, Kyle. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you in Woman of the Hour.
Thank you. I'm examining all your background objects on your table.
Yeah, well, you got the cartoon thing here and the music thing behind it. I'm trying to take care of all of my personality right at once.
Nice. I see it. I see it. I see the vision.
You know, I should point out, that has nothing to do with that, a belated happy birthday. And I know that because you and I are birthday twins.
You're September 30th?
September 30th, the greatest day of all year.
Oh,
or the most forgotten day of all year.
I'm going to go the most celebrated. Who else is? Oh, Fran Drescher is on our day.
Fran Drescher, T-Pain, and Monica Bellucci.
I mean, all of that tracks.
It's a good company. We'll start a thing. And
good company.
No, seriously, it is great to see you in Woman of the Hour. It's not the type of movie I think that most people, you're probably hearing that, would expect to see you in. How did you get a part of this? Why did you want to be a part of it?
Tony, would you like to be in this movie? Yeah. No. I mean, several things, honestly. Like, I've known Anna, and it's always a gift to work with an actor director because they they know the questions you're going to ask, and they answer them before you ask them, which is so nice. And also just the way that she wanted to tell this story. I mean, it does not glorify the serial killer. It's coming from the perspective of the victim. My character kind of represents the culture at large back then, a culture that was very demoralizing to women and would say comments that were somehow accepted and allowed, even on national television. And she paralleled that with what was happening in Rodney's, you know, a horrific spree of victims, and then what was happening in the culture at the time. So just the way that she wanted to tell it, being a part of that was really cool and exciting.
Yeah, because this game show host that you play, sort of this fictionalized version of Jim Lane was the actual host at the time, but mm-hmm. from what I understand, like what you're doing is not Jim exactly.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I mean, I did, since it's based on the dating game, I did do a little bit of YouTube University where I really went down a spiral of all the dating game clips. And, you know, a lot of hosts at the time, and he did this kind of rhythm that they would get into of speech where it was like, well, welcome to the dating game. Da, 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 da. Like, it was just this kind of like, just cadence that they got into. And I think why I was so interested in that was it for this story, it was kind of another detachment, you know, like the way he detached from humanity and was just not grant the women humanity. And he himself was detached, and even off screen, like the way he treated women kind of bled into his, you know, on camera performance. And I don't know, it was just kind of fun to dive into that.
It's interesting when you come across someone like that, especially someone who in entertainment, you know, is so used to churning something out for decades and decades, and not to comment on, you know, that they have any kind of darkness. But you see that, like, that's got to be something hard to avoid if you're in a job like, and again, misogyny and everything, not no apologies for that, just that detachment. It's so interesting to kind of tap into that.
Yeah, and I can understand. I mean, I can understand when you do something over and over and over and over, it's hard not to get into a rhythm. It's hard not to get into kind of a mechanical state. But just some of the comments that were thrown out, I mean, in the script, and you just saw like, yeah, his perspective on women, and I mean, at least for this character, was very obvious, you know, and it also kind of was a symbol of the culture at the time. You know, just women not having a voice, kind of giving in to just the way that culture defined them and treated them, and the way that she paralleled the two of them. It was pretty, but also, side note, it's such a heavy, fragile story that Anna just balanced it so beautifully, like finding ways to kind of let the tension out of the balloon. You know, the dating game was a way to kind of get a little bit of a breath, you know, amidst a very horrific story, you know, and that balance I think is necessary for the viewer in order to kind of digest it in a proper way. You know,
what you're also saying there about how many different ways we see a split personality on the screen. I mean, obviously the killer has the split personality. Your character sort of has a split personality. The dating show itself is a split personality. You know, it's
totally.
Really,
what a great point. Exactly. That's exactly right. And just like him, you know, Rodney, a big part of addiction, a very dark, dark addiction, is manipulation, you know, and just seeing the way he manipulate the equation of him manipulating and then the predator, you know, it's really, oof, it's dark.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tony Hale.
I've heard some of you all talk about, maybe in the press release, what did I write down here? Ordinary people looking the other way so bad people can get away with bad behavior. I mean, that's the other thing that you see over and over, whether it's on the show and the staff and the crew, or whether it's, you know, with Rodney and what's going on there. But to me, that's one of the, you know, most interesting parts about the psychological aspect of this movie, is that that guy got away with it for so long, not because he was crafty. It's because no one else would pay attention.
Pay attention. And also not just that, but like this environment, this specific game show environment, just people kind of turning a blind eye to how these women are being treated, you know? And it's like, just, well, let's just pretend like that wasn't said, you know, or that was, I mean, how many times do we also see that in stories, you know, just kind of like this group of people just kind of turning a blind eye to it, you know?
Did you all shoot the dating game portions before or after, like, the desert and city put, like, was it done like that? Do you know?
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm asking is because, yeah, thinking about Rodney, the character, being, you know, if you're shooting this after he's already gone so psychopath and everything, and him having to kind of, you know, and you're next to that character with him, whatever that means.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't there for all the desert stuff, but I think we shot it after. I think we shot it. So if anything, I mean, Danny, who played Rodney, talk about split personality, having gone through that and shooting that, and then kind of turning on this charming, nice guy, you know, and Anna directing this stuff, and then having to kind of pretend like she's entranced with this guy. It's like, whew, that's a trip.
On the lighter side, you know, what's it like getting to play in the 70s a little bit? I mean, is that noticeable for the role?
Well, I mean, the helmet hair was just
the hair.
Also, I kind of wanted like a strap. Like, I just went, just clicked it on. I know, the helmet hair, and then like these gorgeous mutton chops, and then this just like plaid polyester pants. What I walked away from is, I was like, the fact that he was like, yeah, I look good. I'm like, all right, man, do you think that hair is working? Okay, dude. Cause he even shifted it. I don't know if there was a scene where he like plays with it in the mirror, and I'm like, man, he is just open about that. But, you know, that was his style.
How much do you lose yourself in a character like this? I mean, are you able to shake it? Because it can't feel good to say the things that you're saying on the screen.
It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. But, you know, if I was playing this in a TV show, I think it might be tough to like play that day in and day out. When you're doing a movie, I was there maybe like a week to 2 weeks, maybe. It's just kind of in and out. But I remember playing Buster, you know, for how many years I did. And I would come home and I was in this like defensive state with my wife. And she was like, okay, let's just drop that. Like, when you're on such a defensive, even with Gary, such a defensive state, it is wild how like in life you find yourself, even around Julia. I would be around Julia. Like, we were at a party once, and this is not shooting, and somebody was coming towards, and I got in between her and this person, and she was like, Tony, I'm all right. Like, it's this weird like subconscious, I don't know, that was a tangent, but sometimes it kind of clicks in too much.
You got to revisit it, that character with Veep, the Zoom reunion, right?
Yeah,
like, what's
so
it like
great.
Slipping back in after you've been away?
Heaven. I love those people. We all love each other. I love the material. I love the character. It's like getting into like a comic dance again, where you're just jiving with each other. I mean, who knows if that'll ever happen, but if they ever decide to do anything, I know everybody would just be like, yes, like pouncing on it. Cause we love it. We love that show. We respect that show, each other. It's just fun.
It's interesting, again, you know, as we're talking about voices, finding the voice, you know, here on Woman of the Hour, but also, you know, something like that, because those are so specific voices that you do.
Yeah.
Like, especially being away again from Veep or whatever, like, Do you have to figure that out again? Is it that type of thing, or is maybe it comes naturally?
Gary and Buster came a little natural. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe codependent is my forte. Something like this took some time to kind of get into his rhythms. But I don't know, Gary, maybe it's because I did it so long. Like we did it 7 years, so I think that is easy click in. But if I hadn't done it for that long, it might take some time. I will say when I did Arrested, when they brought Arrested back, I was really nervous about Buster because I hadn't done that for like 5 years. And I was like, oh crap, I hope I match people's expectations, you know, how if I'm gonna get back. But the minute I heard Jessica Walter say Buster, I was like, Zuck! It was like a Pavlovian click where I was like, I'm back.
Yeah.
Like it was
There's
so
almost like
weird.
a there's almost like a little bit of a whisper to both of those voices that kind of creeps in there, you know? That's
There's
yeah.
not a there's It's really interesting you say that because it's like they are on the defense so much that their voice gets kind of like they're like Buster's chin would go back, his arms would go back, everything was on the defense. And so maybe his voice, I think, got stuck back here. I don't know. But he was always like, what? What? What?
That's something to be able to shake that off at the end of the day. I could see that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tony Hale.
I'll quickly bring up because I know Sketch is
Whew.
making the rounds, getting the chatter, getting some of
Yeah,
the
dude,
buzz out there.
I love this movie so much. My friend Seth Worley directed it. It took us 7 years to make, and we just did Toronto Film Festival, and it's so beautiful, man. We describe it like Inside Out meets Jurassic Park, and it's just so well done. Seth did such a great, and I just can't wait. Hopefully, one day that people can see it, widely, because it's so great.
I mean, I think it's beyond hopefully at this point. Like somebody's going to see this, so
I hope so. Hope so. I always, after 30 years in the business, I'm always like, God willing, God willing, God willing.
yeah. Well, and I'll wrap with this too because just noticing what you said there because you know f that's his first time directing something like this with Sketch, and it's the same thing with Anna. Like there's a trust fall, but there's got to be a little bit of magic working with first time.
Magic with what they bring to the table, you mean?
Yeah, they're still they've got to prove themselves. There's the fire. There's nobody's jaded yet. It's
Oh yeah, and it's just you have to have, and both Anna and Seth did, just the assurance in themselves. Like Anna really came prepared. She knew what she wanted. She was a great communicator. She did not bring arrogance or entitlement into the picture, which I think sometimes is a, I mean, many times sometimes just sucks creative energy out of the space. And so they, yeah, you got to kind of come in because I mean, I don't think we felt this, but I'm sure they feel like I have to kind of prove myself. I'm a first-time director, and that's a lot of pressure.
Well, it's I want to say beautiful, but it feels weird to say that. But it is a beautiful movie that you all have made with Woman of the Hour. It's intense, it's dark, it's heavy, and everybody knocked it out of the park. So congratulations
Man,
on
Anna
that.
did too. I have to admit, when I was watching it for the first time, I think I just mainly I watched my feet a lot because there were some scenes I was like, yeah, it's too much. I
Too
can't see
much.
it. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for talking about it. It's
Thanks,
been a pleasure
brother.
catching up with you.
Yeah, good to see you.
And my thanks to Tony. Woman of the Hour is playing now on Netflix. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button while you're here so you can keep up with all the interviews. Three a week, just like this one. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And again, please do give the series a rating and a review while you're at it, if you feel so inspired. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Joni Mitchell and The Clash, Clipping, Wang Chung, Faith No More, Salt-N-Pepa, Susie and the Banshees, Stone Temple Pilots, Something Corporate, Tracy Thorn, Toro y Moi, and my interview with Daryl Hall, formerly of Hall and Oates. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith.
I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.